Quick heads up before we start. I'm hosting a free webinar using AI to boost your LinkedIn profile. This is one of many webinars I'll be offering. And this particular one, you're going to have three tips that are going to help you take your LinkedIn profile into the stratosphere and getting the attention you want. And just as a reminder, this webinar is free. So don't wait. Sign up now. The registration link is in the show notes. And if you want to stay up to date on my other webinars and my coach offerings, please subscribe to my newsletter, which you can find at my website, yumiwilson.me. Now, let's get going. Welcome to AI in Journalism. I'm Yumi Wilson, a journalism professor, branding expert, and your host. In this podcast, we'll boldly explore the intersection of AI and journalism, from its origins to its implications for newsrooms. We'll discuss the symbiosis of AI and human judgment, ethical concerns, and most importantly, arm you with the knowledge to navigate this brave new world. Whether you're a budding journalist, seasoned editor, or simply an AI enthusiast, join us as we fearlessly uncover the future of journalism in the age of artificial intelligence. Welcome to AI in Journalism. Today's newsrooms are facing the challenge of integrating machine learning, natural language processing, and AI-driven content. These tools are bringing significant changes to how news is reported. As journalists and educators, we're on the brink of a new era where these technologies can transform how we discover, report, and share stories. To help us navigate this transformation, we have Ryan Restivo with us. Ryan is the creator of YesEO, a free Slack app that uses generative AI to enhance headlines and streamline story processing in multiple languages, including Spanish, German, and Japanese, which I'm studying right now, and I used to speak as a kid. His innovative work has earned YesEO a finalist spot in the 2024 Online Journalism Awards for Excellence in AI Innovation, alongside big organizations that we all know, like BBC and The City. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's get right into it. First, can you start by giving us an overview of how AI is used in newsrooms today?
Gosh, that's such a big question. This is a fun one, right? And what you mentioned, right, YesEO being a finalist for Online Journalism Awards next to these large organizations like BBC and The City is just a huge honor. You know, it's not something I ever imagined would happen. And it just speaks to how so many different places are doing so many different things when it comes to using AI in this space, that you could see these great projects that are, you know, the other finalists at BBC, right? They're doing so many different things in terms of machine learning and stuff to tell a great story. And similar, The City on Long Island, but you know, The City is very close to me. The City is a nonprofit newsroom that covers New York City. They use artificial intelligence to map a lot of where their stories are. They use it to map kind of like where their particular neighborhoods that they're covering around the New York City area. So you could see different types of ways that people are using AI in their newsrooms. When it comes to YesEO, it's a lot of trying to give people the most they can for information, right? And like Japanese and supporting other languages is a lot of fun. I only speak English, but I'm able to creatively get it away to get folks to get headlines. And somebody was just using this morning some Spanish headlines. It's so cool that we could like push these boundaries in a particular way. And we all have to kind of make adjustments as we figure out how people are going to continue to use this in their newsroom and how they're going to continue to use it to the job of giving people the most information at the right time.
Let's talk more about YesEO. And I want to say, I'm going to make an admission here. When I first asked about the pronunciation, I pronounced it like a name, which is a name of a very popular pop star. So I was like, okay, so I wasn't sounding crazy when I said YesEO, you know, like, but let's talk about YesEO. What's different about it from general AI tools and what motivated you to create it?
So SEO as a tool made through the Reynolds Journalism Institute fellowship program. So I spent July of 2022 to launching this in March of 2023 as an RJI fellow. We worked with a fellows class, which is where one of the fellows in this class came up with the name Yesio, which was great. And forever thankful to Tara Pixley for coming up with that name, because if it was up to me, I would have still been struggling to find a name for this thing, which would have been fun. And yes, throughout the process, we did learn about this this pop star that was going to have a very close relation to it, but we still pushed forward. I said, this is a good idea, and I wasn't going to come up with a better name. So it was great to do that. As a fellow, my pitch for this was to make a tool that helps newsrooms with SEO best practices. You know, initial pitch was centered around this idea that we could use things like natural language processing to pull out those keywords and make people more data aware, where before people are just thinking about their story, or maybe they're thinking about their keywords kind of in two separate silos. So try to reduce that amount of time to think about the job of how we best fit all of our data into our stories. And throughout this process, right, this generative boom suddenly happens 3/4 of the way through I'm building a thing. And it makes me really reassess about thinking about how I could, you know, help people in service of the job, right? The job is to give people the most tools they can to get their information out there to folks. And so for me, it was centering around the idea of, okay, the data I was going to have was centering around the story. Could we build some prompts that'll make it, how can we simplify this process? Simplify the process to get headline ideas. And I always emphasize ideas because in my history working with newsrooms, it's hard to tell somebody that one thing is an end all be all. So if you give them a variety of things, hopefully that'll help them be more data aware, get to the idea in their own space, right? Somebody still has to make a decision when they use this. And I think that's very important, especially in all of the tools that we're putting out there in the world, because we see all these different kinds of images that are generated that are, you know, very different. And then sometimes don't have like English written on them when you're trying to generate an image, and you could see how, you know, fake or they're not real they are. But yeah, for me, it was about trying to solve the job or how to help people in the job of telling their stories in a place where maybe these, you know, smaller newsrooms don't have somebody like me that could help them with these tools. And as an RJI fellow, right, you're building free, distributable, practical innovation. And so since launching this in March, my message has been to folks, this is something that can help you with your stories. And the OJ Award nomination is great. It just shows and measures the impact of how people have used this and be able to get value from it.
Speaking of impact, how many people are using this tool? Do you have an idea or a guesstimate?
So I've been able to track some data on users. I know that over 500 workspaces have installed the SEO since launching in March of 2023, which is a great milestone. And then depending on the size of the workspace, you can get to the amount of users and then the amount of stories I tend to track, which is actually interesting because the original idea for SEO came from an editor who came to me one day and said like, hey, why did our story not rank well in Google? And we made a list, and we made a list of all the other ones that beat us. And we figured out this home healthcare worker that, you know, didn't do some great things to this person. All of those keywords were not in there, and where the other ones did have it. So the idea was kind of scale that idea. And then as I kept going with that idea as an RJI fellow, people would say, okay, that's great, but what about before publishing? What am I going to do before? So had to build that too in this tool. And what's been interesting throughout the process is that about 70% of the requests that are made are actually on the side where people are before publishing. That's a real signal to me that people are really thinking about, you know, they're thinking about that process before publishing, and they're thinking about how can we add value and make sure how can we make sure we're solving that part of the job. So that's really where I've been thinking about things moving forward in terms of just how to better address that part of the job. How can we help people think more about before they think about maybe their story isn't filed, or maybe their story is filed already, and they just need that extra push in terms of ideation or the things that the SEO gives them as value.
This is making me think of what you're doing. You're creating a tool that's providing a service for a community, a group of people, an industry really, that really needs this resource. My question, I mean, because I think, gosh, I want to do things like that, but what's your background a little bit? And did you have help? Do you have a team? What are their names?
Yes, here they are. No. So I've had a lot of help along the way, right? This generous support from RJI. I've worked with people at Missouri School of Journalism at the University of Missouri, right? It was really great to work with folks there. But a lot of the, you know, the building of it is actually, I wanted to do it. So for better or worse, in retrospect now, one of the reasons I wanted to build this was because I really wanted to build this. which can get stressful when you're in the last month or so of building something. However, it was fun before you kind of push something out, right? And you're testing and doing all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to build this. I had learned to code maybe like 8 or so years ago in a newsroom. And the first thing I built was a Slack bot. And I was just testing kind of the general bounds of what you could do with this kind of technology. Different editor came up to me and said, hey, you know, it'd be great if we could just review like the breaking news email alerts that we send out. And so it took 2 minutes to build that, and it still gets used to this day. So it's about thinking about how you process those things and how you think about in terms of the job of what needs to be done for folks. And for that job, it was making sure people in the newsroom understood what was going to go out in the email, make sure copy editors saw what it was and they could evaluate that there's no mistakes. And then, you know, getting that part of the job done and helping people in that way. So building SEO is an extension of that, right? It's helping more newsrooms with the same skills that I've grown and developed over the years. And it's in service of helping those newsrooms that don't otherwise have somebody that can help them, giving these people an opportunity to use something that maybe they would have trouble with building themselves. Yeah, my journey centers are a lot around like just trying to figure out problems or identify the problems, figure out how to solve them. And when you build something, it's great because there are a lot more problems even after you launch it. But that just means there's more opportunities to solve things. And especially now, learning how people have used this for over a year, it gives good insight into other opportunities that there are to help people move forward.
What about your journey? How did you get to this point? You've talked about it a bit, but that's always the question, right? You know, for journalists, you're doing this very specific, it's almost like a duty, right? Because the idea is we're doing something. I know when I was a reporter at the Chronicle and the AP and other places, I knew it wasn't about money. I knew it wasn't really about fame. It was about this idea that I am doing something that can make someone else's life better. For you, when did that journey start? Or is that something that is really important to you? I'm assuming it is. And yeah, walk us through a little bit.
Thinking about my journey, I've been in the media space for 8 years. I've had like 15 years of digital media experience. I'm one of those fortunate 2008 graduates from college that graduated into a particularly not great time. So took a job like where I could find it and then continued on in terms of a different journey than probably I thought I was going to be on. A very long time ago, in my kind of last 8 years of experience, I had a supervisor who's a very good person. And one of the things as he was hiring this one team he had, he wanted people with journalism backgrounds. And whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, but then tells me that I don't have a journalist background, right? I didn't go to school for the degree behind me. The two of them are my wife's, but one of them is mine. And, you know, it's not a journalism degree. So I always think about this because I think maybe it was, you know, this thing that I decided, you know, now almost 20 years ago, now that I'm aging myself, was going to have an impact on how my life was going to go. And I thought about it in that context when he said it. But at the same time, I think about the other context of, I don't have the capital J journalism degree. There's a lot of things that I'm not, but the angle that I do come from does have an interesting perspective and how it could help people in service of the jobs that they're doing. So I think about it in terms of not just because I don't have a journalism degree doesn't mean I don't have some place at this table where I can help journalists. And I think that especially building this and working with a lot of journalists, training newsrooms, working with a lot of different people, I think there's a way in which, you know, that my background has been to try to solve problems for journalists and try to solve problems for, you know, people who see our journalism and in different aspects of the work I've done. And I think it's all just in service of how you help those people and find those points to get them a little bit further along in their job than maybe they weren't before. And I think that when you think about how SEO is built, it's about advancing those kinds of things too. It's about helping those people along the parts of their journey and hopefully making them smarter for it, hopefully making them more aware of what could be outside that could help them, and hopefully making their stories more widely seen and read.
Let's come into the app itself. What I found very appealing, and I think a lot of journalists would find appealing, is that the information that they provide there stays safely behind, you know, this protective wall. So that is, to me, very different from other AI tools that you could use to do similar things. So walk us through and tell us more about the app and how it works, and then also those concerns about privacy and safety.
Yeah, SEO is as easy as adding to your Slack right now. It's available in the Slack app directory. Should be as easy as clicking add to Slack, depending on your workspace, because some workspaces have different settings. But once you click add to Slack, it should do all of the OAuth fun stuff that I was able to conquer in December 2022 and be able to be installed and used in your workspace. It uses slash commands. So anyone familiar with slash commands would be able to use a slash analyze command for URL or a slash prep URL or slash prep command for entering their text. And then, like you said, privacy is a big concern. As I've kind of been putting this out there into the world and having a lot of conversations over the last, I guess I want to say 6 to 8 months or so, one of the biggest concerns that's come up has been privacy. A lot of folks are worried, considering where we are right now. We're about to enter a U.S. election. I know that there have been a lot of elections around the world already, but in particular, a U.S. election, a lot of the users of SEO are based in the United States, but there are also more around the world. But one of those concerns is, hey, how are you protecting this work that I've been doing? Especially not even in the last year or so. It's also initially when I built this prep command, the first question I got back was, hey, how are you protecting my data? Like, a unpublished story is one of those valuable pieces of information. I don't want anybody else to see it. So the solution that was kind of built into that was that the prep command stories only exist on the user level, right? So when you enter your prep story, you're the only one who has access to share that information, and nobody else is ever going to be able to access that information. And then a year later, on top of that, now every story, and even going back in time now, every story is now encrypted. So every story is not accessible, no matter if anybody had the data. You know, they'd have to jump through a bunch of hoops to get my data, but they would never have anything of value that would be able to be used. And that was a concern that I had heard as people continue to talk about their data concerns, like, what was the best thing I could do in service of that? So encryption really sent, for me, was one of the things that I really wanted to tackle, other than adding like extra layers of authentication like crazy, which are always good, but really just trying to have authentication and then also encryption to really help people, reassure people that their stories are protected, I think is, you know, important that we make sure that, you know, we're, especially when you're on my side thinking about this, how do I protect somebody's story as best I can from being accessed, you know, not from being only accessible to them. And I think that was, I think that's a good decision kind of now and moving forward.
So just to be clear that I understand, all of the data that the app is going to be collecting is just going to be data that's private to the user.
So all your stories, all that story data that you entered in, all of the, on both sides, right? Even if it's in your URL, if it gets reused when you're hitting the suggest headline button, it's never actually pulling the actual story. It's always pulling this encrypted story. It's unlocking it. It's saying, okay, use it now. And then it's saying, okay, I'm done with it for now. And that's it. It never has access to actual story data anymore. It only knows it as a random text, which, you know, when debugging can be bad, but when you see it for the user, it's good, right? It's protecting that data that is so crucial to journalists every day. These stories have so much value. The stories that we tell are the ecosystem for which we want to serve information to this industry, not just to our industry, but to the people we want to have an understanding of all this information. So, you know, treating it with that high level is the right thing to do.
And that is why you had said earlier, 500 newsrooms have signed up.
Over 500 installs. There's thousands of stories in here. It's hard to quantify the number of stories, but it's a lot of fun to see that people have used this and been able to get value from it.
All right. Well, let's switch gears a little bit here. You have created this app that seems to be growing. It's been nominated for an important award. Where do you go next, given the fact that things are moving at the speed of light? You know, I mean, it's like you have this app, it's good, it's serving the purpose. How do you stay ahead of the game?
That's a good question. So I think it's just think about, I mean, it might sound tacky, right? But I think it's about service of the job of how we help people and how we help newsrooms continue to tell their stories. I think that I had very good advice from a mentor who said, like, you know, don't touch anything, don't change anything. You're going to watch how people use this and you're going to learn everything you need to know about how people are using it, what they need help on, what they're not doing well. And that first month was very hectic, but it was also a very big lesson in that you could see how people were accessing the things you wanted them to or not, how your design was great or how it wasn't, and made adjustments to it, right? And how we figured out how to really help people get, how to take people where they were in the parts of their journey where maybe they shouldn't have been, and push them forward into ways that would find them value. So when it comes down to how this kind of future, I think it's about how it can continue to find those jobs that can help people, how to find ways for it to sustain itself, and at the same time, continue to be accessible to folks. Because I think that there's value in making sure that you're accessible to as many folks as possible. So it's about continuing to build on this, finding other parts of the job that can be helped and other places where people need that help, and then finding those answers and giving people a way in to see if they'll be able to be able to continue to build that kind of digital focus.
Thinking of, let's say, the biggest critic in the room, what about the idea that now that there's an app that can help you with headlines, wouldn't it make sense for an app to help you with the structure of a news story, the writing of a good lead, you know, doing also the rest of the work that, you know, once was done by people?
To be fair, right, we've seen these kinds of things out there for at least 12 years old or so. One of my friends worked on the first AP business stories, the business stories that were then used by the AP is the proper way to say that. And similarly, those sports stories that we saw, kind of pro sports and college sports stories, now get produced in this kind of similar manner. So we've been in an era of computer assisting reporting, whether we thought we were or not, for a while. How we build on that is still difficult and tenuous, right? Because there are a lot of stories that maybe computers just aren't great at helping us with yet, like city council meetings and other things like that that we think about. But there are still ways where we can try to tackle that stuff with the information that we're getting. And I think that, you know, I hit on this before, but I think that when we're helping people discover the information in service of that, you know, we're giving people more information about their communities. That's when we're really doing the job of journalism. So how we figure out how other tools can help us get there will hopefully be a good thing in the future. But I think we are still at a point where we have to take small steps to get there. And see, you know, we've seen some things in this industry where things haven't worked out, which is okay. I think that when you kind of reflect on why some things didn't work, it doesn't mean that those things won't ever work. I think about the high school sports thing that happened last year or so. There is a good idea in there, and I think there is a way to get there. But I think that some people have this idea that maybe there'll just be this rapid growth that we'll be able to get there like in a snap, finger snap immediately. But I think it's going to take a lot more time than that. But I think that there are still going to be ways in which this will be able to use tools like this to help people in service of those jobs. We'll need to kind of take those slow steps and figure it out.
You know, one of the things I'm thinking about and what you said is when I was working in the tech space for a few years at LinkedIn, one of my lessons, one of the things I learned is that failure is one of the best things you can do. That, you know, up until then, because I had been a professor, I had been, you know, journalist, and, you know, their failure is not okay in my mind. And I got to a place where here were these folks doing crazy things or things that no one had thought about. And they were saying to me, Yumi, just go. I mean, you want to build this program? How do you do it? Let's hear it. And I was given permission to fail and try again. And that's what I hear you saying, that, you know, as we go forward with really the integration of AI, how do we create tools that can help journalists, but also protect their data and their content, and that we can see in the space, in the greater space, issues that have come around. You mentioned certain publications that have tried to create stories through, you know, AI. And there's been a lot of kind of pushback, but also lawsuits. Are there any that you're following that stand out to you that might set, you know, precedent in our industry?
We're talking about it in terms of how we develop these products to help people. You know, journalism very much is not a failure-oriented industry. We need people to tell those accurate stories and tell them correctly. So it is interesting to see how kind of, you know, we want to develop products that are going to help people, and there will be some slip-ups along the way. But I think that, you know, we're still in very early stages in how we get to this goal, and so how we get to servicing other parts of the job that we can try to do. I think those slow steps are okay, because at least I could speak from my background when I've been in this industry, it's not as easy to bring people along with new technology. So even when I'm building SEO, right, I want to try to service people at the lowest common denominator. I want to make sure that it's as easy as possible for them to understand what's going on here. I want to make sure they know that it says headline ideas. I want them to make sure that, hey, these aren't set in stone. This is up to your interpretation. So I think it's about, you know, hopefully making those small steps of progress and how we kind of continue to do that. The lawsuit stuff, I don't know. I don't think that we should be going to the courts to help us figure out how this is all going to work out. This is a very weird space when it comes to this kind of stuff. But like, it's hard for me to say that, especially going to courts, just because it's such a zero-sum operation where, you know, this could change, that could effectively change a lot of what we do in this industry. And we lose a lot of say over what could possibly be done. So I don't know if the legal way is the right way to go.
Let's talk a little bit about the future. And I know that, you know, everyone will say, well, we can't see, there's no crystal ball. But given your experience, given everything that you're doing, and now that you've been able to interact with newsrooms and all over the world, what do you see happening? And I won't put a time frame on it. I usually ask at 5 years. That's no good anymore, right? We got to look down 6 months from now. But what is your take on the future?
Well, the short-term future, I guess, will look very similar to what we have now. I think that people are starting to recognize a lot more of how much machine learning, how much artificial intelligence is actually in the systems that they're already going to every day. Maybe they're more aware of it now versus in the past. I know there's like that phrase about like, if you boil a frog real low, you have to boil real low, right? You know, if they could continue to kind of, we'll continue to kind of amp this up. And I think that's where I think we'll see some more developments here where people will be using more of these things to get value out of their businesses, especially in the journalism business. But I think we're going to see it kind of slowly progress as opposed to these ones that are going to say, and maybe there are some out there that are saying, we're going to pivot straight to AI, right? And we're going to see what happens. But we've seen this transformation over the last few decades, right? From, you know, the early internet to social, to mobile, to all these other things. We've seen how they've changed our industry over the years. You know, it's created jobs and careers that didn't exist before. It's also left its somewhat path of destruction as we've seen this industry change. So I'm optimistic that will help us serve information to communities better, but I'm not exactly sure how that will happen yet. I think that there's a way where maybe all of this will help us tell a lot more information and a lot better information to our communities. But maybe that doesn't exist in the kind of spaces that we have today. How the existing industry is might change over time. And as it has the last few decades, you know, I don't know if it'll be a seismic shift, but it'll be a shift nonetheless.
You mentioned creating new jobs. And because I do teach at a journalism, you know, I teach over at SF State media writing and so on and journalism. My question is, what should students or people who want to get into the industry or thinking about staying in the industry and looking for new opportunities, what are the kinds of skills do you think they're going to need, you know, when it comes to media, journalism, all of that?
For me, I think it's about trying to just have a wide variety of experience over time. I did mention I graduated in 2008, so I've aged myself, right? So, you know, only the first iPhones were out at that time, and they used to have AT&T, and they didn't work very well, if I remember right. So as cell phones kind of proliferated in those days, it changed how we were going to be able to get information and the kinds of jobs that we needed in this industry, right? We have so many different mobile product managers out there that help, great apps out there that we didn't have before. That's just the one that's off the top of my head. But we have a lot of different things in service of those jobs that we just don't have, we just never had, you know, in my day, if we want to say it that way. So I think that, you know, people get to those positions because they have some kind of variety of experience, right? I took the first job I could find, which was testing fantasy games a very long time ago. But that testing did help me in terms of thinking about how experiences work and how things like that work. And then, you know, working in multimedia and working in building lots of different video and servicing video for, you know, 30 different clubs and all this other stuff back in BAM. So I think that a lot of it is trying to just find the right experiences or find a variety of experiences that are going to be enough. My path is definitely not how everybody else's path should be. But at the same time, I think that there are going to be opportunities as long as people are willing to step forward and get on their own path. And I think that's what I probably tell some younger folks, to anticipate what they should do or want to do, understand how analytics can change how you want to look at things. I think that some people are still intimidated, even people that I still try to train in terms of what analytics actually mean. You know, thinking about it, you have to think about it more in terms of answers to your questions and how people understand the variety and how they understand the value that you're delivering, and then take that and then use it and work the data and figure out how it works. Not everything needs to be a spreadsheet, even though I like spreadsheets. But at the same time, you want everybody to have a good understanding of what this means and how it provides value to the business. And I think that's a shift we've seen over the last 5+ years is, you know, when you talk about the, you mentioned a wall before, but it was a different wall. The wall between like business and the journalism space, it's kind of broken down because people, journalists want to know their impact on the users that were driving subscriptions. So it's a good thing that we've kind of seen that wall break over the last few years, and the journalists care about it. They want to make sure their information is being seen by the people that need it the most, and hopefully will be the ones that will want to understand more of that information moving forward. So, you know, having journalists understand how the subscription business works has been a good thing. So I think it's more just kind of thinking about those kinds of things moving forward. And, you know, especially when you're looking at writing or reporting, things like that, I think that having that understanding of what the digital background is and how we can understand how subscriptions and how this business is being driven moving forward are going to be things that'll set you apart moving forward in the future.
Well, your path starting off as a tester for fantasy games, I think would be the favored path of many of the students I teach in broadcast writing and broadcast media classes. So yeah, you'd be surprised. Okay, as our time kind of starts to wind down, I do want to bring it back full circle to SEO. What should we be thinking about? How do we stay up on information about you and what you're doing and the app is doing? Tell us everything.
Okay, SEO.app is where you could find the SEO app, its website, wonderful stuff. You've mentioned the Online Journalism Award nomination for Excellence in AI Innovation, the 2024 finalist. You could see that on the page too. We won't find out what happens until September 20th, I want to say, in Atlanta. So we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed, we'll see what happens. But again, two great nominees. So whoever wins is going to be an awesome choice. And I already feel like I've won already in terms of just being amongst these three. So that's really special. And then, I'll be at ONA. Surprise, right? Because I'm going to be waiting to see what happens here. I think that SEO is also in the Knight Election Hub. There's free resources for newsrooms and journalists preparing for election 2024. We all know that there's a big consequential election coming up. So some extra things we've added in terms of what SEO could do for your newsroom. So they center around some of the things we were talking about before, thinking about your story and thinking about not just maybe trends in the US that you want to localize to your area based on things that you've already told the SEO app, or thinking about how we can reframe some of the keywords in your story and think about what else could be targeted from there. Those are the two ideas I've been pushing since then. We're going to see how those play out. I've seen, I think it's like 15 or so workspaces already signed up for that. So that's good. Slowly launched that a couple weeks ago. And we're going to see how that works for folks. So you can get that by going to the Knight Election Hub, go to SEO.app. And when you download the app, you could see there's a sign up in the app for it. And that's how I track who gets it and who doesn't and that kind of fun stuff. But yeah, it's continue to grow. Hopefully we're going to continue to serve as many folks as possible and continue to give value to people. I always say that I'm never going to be able to shake the hands of everybody who's ever used this, you know, which is good and bad, because I'd love to see, learn people's stories and figure out how much this thing I built has had impact on them. But at the same time, you know, it's really unique and special that I've actually been able to have an impact on people. So that's where I really feel good about this.
Well, we, I think as listeners and myself, we've all learned a great deal about SEO. And I will be sure to add the links that I can find and put them in the show notes. But I will also be at the ONA convention this year, moderating a panel on small newsrooms who are using and leveraging AI. And that will be on the 19th. But I've already signed up for the luncheon. I'm very excited about being there, Ryan, and seeing you and the other finalists, all of them very impressive at this luncheon. Very excited. And I remember during our chat, you said you didn't think I'd bring this up, that you were going to have to buy a new shirt or, you know, new outfit.
Oh, gosh, here we go. My wife told me that my shirts are out of style. So I actually placed an order this weekend. So we're going to see some new shirts coming in the next week or so. Good, right? Because when you order something before, and I did this last year, I made a sign for Startup Alley when SEO was in Startup Alley last year. I bought a sign using Vistaprint. and it came, I don't want to say like 2 days before. I had to rush ship it because I rushed it a little bit. But the new shirts are coming, I think 2 weeks before is the scheduled delivery. So knock on wood, they'll be here. But yes, I need some new shirts. I've been told what's in style now. So we're going to see how this works. And hopefully, yeah, I'll be looking okay. And we'll see what happens at these awards. It's going to be, yeah, it's just an honor to be amongst these nominees. And I never thought that this would be somewhere where I'd be in terms of listed in these nominations. I put this nomination a while back and it's very unexpected because I was on vacation at the time these were announced. So I got a text and I got a message from two friends saying, congratulations. And I said, all I thought was congratulations for what? I have been looking at my email. I'm walking around. So I haven't been doing anything. So then go into the inbox and see that this has come through. It's an amazing feeling just to be amongst this list and be amongst all of these nominees for these great awards. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Such great news. I'm very excited about what outfit your wife has advised you to get. And on that note, this is another episode of AI in Journalism with our very special guest, Ryan Restivo, the creator of YesSEO. Until next time, stay curious and stay informed. Take care. That's all for today's episode. And don't forget to sign up for my webinar where I'll be teaching you 3 ways to supercharge your LinkedIn profile using AI tools. And remember, this webinar is free. You can find the registration link in the show notes. And to stay up to date on all the latest offerings and my coaching sessions, be sure to register for my newsletter at yumiwilson.me and connect on LinkedIn and other social media channels. Until then, stay curious and stay informed.